Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
When I was a little boy, I was fascinated with the unknown. Ever since my father told me stories about my great-grandfather, who always swore up and down that he saw Bigfoot. The way he told it, the story sounded genuine, tangible, like it could have happened. It wasn't the ordinary tale of, I heard this sound, followed by a strange noise that could easily be explained as a bobcat or a horrific mountain lion scream that sounds like a banshee. My great-grandfather saw something large, hairy, and intelligent. According to the tale, he saw him fashioning a tool like some caveman. When my father told me the story, I believed it. You could always tell someone's lying to you just from the look on their face. A curve of a smile, or maybe a fidgetiness of excitement. But for me, it's always the eyes. When someone tells you a made-up story, they'll look around you instead of at you. And my father, he was staring right into my soul. I grew up, went to college, got a steady job at first, and then I was able to become a cryptozoologist like I'd always wanted. I take calls from folks to investigate, and I get sent pictures and videos to confirm their authenticity. The latter has been getting especially frustrating as of late, with the continuing AI slop that propagates throughout the internet. At least old hoax videos and pictures had some effort put into them, some genuine craft. Now, though, you just generate all sorts of things. Investigations slowed down a lot since COVID, and many folks had just become outright antagonistic nowadays. I show up with a camera and audio equipment as well as other odds and ends, and folks just stare at me funny. One example is that this fella in Tennessee said he spotted the Wendigo out in the middle of the forest. I listened to his testimony over the phone, and he seemed genuine in his belief. So I drove on down to ask if I could investigate about his house since he lived deep in the woods. And so I drove on down there, and as I was unloading my equipment, he came out yelling.
"What's all that?"
I assured him that the equipment was necessary to capture what he experienced.
"I don't like it. You gonna film me? Make me look like some fool?"
I also assured him that if I decided to release any of my findings, he'd remain anonymous. He eased off and let me finish. He sat on the porch, scowling at me and smoking a cigarette. I set up everything, and I monitored everything from my laptop from inside his house for a long, long time. I'm talking nearly 12 hours. Even when I slept, as soon as I woke up, I'd scan over the footage that I had missed while I was asleep. And when I didn't find anything, he shouted at me for wasting his time. After an experience like that, I'm glad I didn't do investigations often. I've sort of become a stay-at-home cryptozoologist now, often being a debunker or listening to folks' first-hand accounts. Some folks call me a skeptic, but I'd argue that I'm a healthy skeptic. While I want to believe in the things I'm looking at, I'm not going to fall head over heels for every case I come across. Lord, I've done so many cases now that I lost count. I've even bought some mics along with some soundproof foam in hopes of starting a podcast over the experiences that I've had. While I can't necessarily vouch for the authenticity of every cryptid that I've come across, I've definitely seen my fair share of strangeness. However, what I experienced recently has left me shaken, to say the least. I received a phone call back in November from... well, let's just keep it anonymous. But if you really want to look for where it is, you might find what you're looking for in Appalachia. The call came from a woman who asked if I'd like to come investigate something that she said was the explanation. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I was tired, so I replied with a snarky comment that I admit wasn't the kindest.
"Listen, I'm a cryptozoologist, not a paranormal investigator. If you want to get Zach Bagans, be my guest."
As I said, I sounded like a grumpy jerk, but she was kind enough to respond and give me more grace than I deserved.
"It does have to do with your field of work," she said. "I'm speaking of a thing, not an experience."
So you've seen something then?
I have. And...
She quit talking, and I heard her sniffle. Her breath was shaky.
Oh, God.
I sobered up almost immediately, and spoke much more kindly. Hey, now, I'm so sorry. Miss...
Janice. My name is Janice.
Listen, if you're not comfortable talking about it over the phone, I could meet up with you and talk if you want.
That'd be lovely.
I set a date when I could drive down, and she gave me directions on how to get to her. Mossy Pines is a small town, and that's stretching the word extremely thin. It is a tiny little town. Don't bother looking into it, but I don't think that you'd find it anyway. I punched in the exact coordinates into my phone, and the location didn't even appear on Google Maps. If anything, it looked like I was going off-road. That is, until I saw the old Welcome to Mossy Pines sign. Below it was a slogan, a great place to raise a family. I arrived early in the morning, fog still rested on the ground and amongst the surrounding mountains. It was serene, albeit a little eerie. I drove around the old buildings, seeing a scant amount of folks out and about. There was a shabby downtown that had most of the business shut down, and the one business that was open was a general store with a neon open sign blinking on and off. I saw a diner named Pappy's Greasy Spoon, and knew that must have been the place where I'm supposed to meet with Janice. She mentioned a restaurant in town, and it was the only one I could spot. I looked at my dashboard and saw I had plenty of time to kill. So, I drove around the town, getting a feel for Mossy Pines, and the more I looked around, the more uneasy I felt. I saw a handful of houses that looked functional, but were in bad shape. Folks were on their porches, just staring at me as I drove down the road with curiosity in their gaze. The rest of the houses were worse, with most of them being completely overtaken by nature. Smashed out windows, collapsed chimneys, unkempt tall grass swallowed the yards, and moss and kudzu devoured the remains of the houses. After I had my fill of looking at the remains of what looked to be a moderately sized small town, I decided to head back to the diner. The parking lot only had about 3 or 4 cars out front. The exterior looked like a 50s diner crossed with a log cabin, but it looked withered by time. The windows were unclean. The wooden steps were splintering, and the sign out front was rusting away. I ascended the steps and walked in. The door chimed with little dangling bells. The interior smelled heavenly with the aroma of fried oils, coffee, and cooked meat. I looked around the place, observing the folks who were in attendance. There was a lone, scruffy-looking cook behind the grill. There was an old couple in the back chatting to themselves, and another older man who sat alone with a newspaper and a cup of coffee. I eventually found a woman, younger than the rest, but still older than me, waving to me. She was kind-looking. She had shoulder-length, graying hair with eyes that I could only describe as tired. I sat down at the booth with her, and I asked...
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
What's good in this place? I'm starved. She smiled and said,
I always thought Dale's biscuits and gravy were especially good.
Then I'll have that. The old cook, who I assumed was Dale, wandered over with a mug and a pitcher of coffee. He filled it up and asked what I wanted to eat, and I told him. He ambled back to the kitchen and got started on my breakfast. I cleared my throat and sat up straight. Whenever I conducted myself for my clients, I always try to give them the respect they deserve. It's not just for good business, but I consider it a genuine courtesy to treat someone's experiences as if they were facts. I placed my satchel beside me and received the Tascam recorder and hooked up a small cardioid microphone. Now then, I said. Over the phone, you talked about something you couldn't explain. Care to try and tell me exactly what that was? Her smile disappeared. She sipped her coffee and looked out the window. The town was bathed in the dull grays of an overcast sky.
I'm not crazy. Just know that before I get started, okay?
I'm not one to call folks that, ma'am. She looked back at me, her eyes wet, not with tears, but maybe they were going to become tears.
Mossy Pine is cursed.
This town?
Yes.
How so?
We've got something here. It's in the woods. It hates us.
So, this thing, is it like a harbinger for bad times? In Point Pleasant, the Mothman was a sort of...
No. It feeds off mystery. It...
The tears finally came. I reached out for a hand, and she took it. It was trembling. Take your time.
I know. I've just... Everyone in town acts like it's normal, but it's not. They act like that thing out there is just a normal part of life. They've made peace with it, and I say fuck that.
This small outburst gained looks from some of the patrons for a brief moment, but they quickly dismissed it. Janice wiped tears from her eyes with a napkin and cleared her throat. She took a deep, heavy breath and sighed.
Have you ever, in your field of work, heard of a flayed deer?
In my years as an expert on the unusual animals and myths in the United States, I don't think I've ever heard something with a name quite like that. I've come across many different and unique cryptids that I've studied. The giant ambling skeleton, Fresno nightcrawlers, the Popelick monster, Thunderbird, the Ozark howler, Frogman, and many other illustrious names. Never heard of the flayed deer before. I was legitimately stumped. I'm sorry, but I've never heard of it. This seems to upset her greatly. She was visibly shaken that I had no idea what this thing was. I asked her, why does it have that name? And what does it look like?
It's got that name because of its looks.
And? She sipped her coffee again, and with a shaky voice, she explained.
It's a walking deer skeleton, and it's draped in flayed human skin.
This was certainly something new and unsettling to me. I looked at my forearm and saw that my hair was on end and my skin was breaking out in goosebumps. She continued.
It's been here, lingering in the town since its founding, like a fog.
Do you have any background on it? Any information would be helpful.
Most folks don't have an explanation for it. Everyone you see here in town has just given up, accepted it like it's a local pest. I feel like I'm the only one left who has enough sense to give a shit anymore. But I'm sorry to say that I don't know much. I only know as much as my parents did. My daddy said it was a sort of vengeful Native American spirit. But I called an expert on Native American folklore out 3 countries away from here, and he said he'd never heard of it either. Like you. My mama told me that she thought it was the devil himself, but she wasn't always mentally sound. God bless her.
Well, what do you think?
I used to think it was death itself. Like how some folks just see strange things before they die. But I don't think so anymore.
How so?
I just think it's meanness. Pure evil.
How is it evil?
It doesn't kill you right away. It just lingers around, waits until everyone you love dies, and then it'll just start tormenting you. It may not have lips or vocal cords, but it speaks to you. Whenever you get old, like me, it's when the voices start.
When I heard the mention of voices, I felt sadness wash over me. Had I traveled all of this way and started listening to a woman who may be suffering from mental illness? She mentioned her mother was mentally unwell, so it tracks. In her eyes, she was telling the truth, I could tell, but it was the truth as she saw fit. Whenever someone is suffering from psychosis or schizophrenia, they believe every word that they're spewing. I didn't let her in on my skepticism, and I just played along. What are the voices you hear?
I hear my parents, and most recently, my husband. When did he
pass? Last year. He wandered off into the woods to get some firewood for the winter, and he never came back. I think it got him, too.
I wondered if it was exploitative to ask this question, but I asked anyway. What kind of things do these voices say? She looked at me with tired eyes. She looked at her empty mug of coffee and shouted to Dale.
Could I get some more coffee, Dale?
Yeah.
He grunted. He walked over and filled the mug to the top. The steam rose into the air. She blew on it and then sipped some of the coffee.
The voices say they want me to come to the woods.
Is that all?
They also say they need my skin because they're cold.
By the time my biscuits and gravy arrived at my table, I didn't feel so hungry anymore. I reached into my wallet, but Janice put her hand up at me.
Listen, I got it.
Oh, no, I got it.
Lord have mercy, you're my guest. Let me treat you.
Defeated, I put my wallet back into my pocket and ate my breakfast. It was tasty, but overwhelmingly fattening. I think I had a week's worth of calories. After breakfast, I told Janice that I'd meet her back at her house to discuss what to do going forward. Before she left, I asked her, one more thing.
Yes.
Why not move?
I tried. It followed me. I figured I'd rather face it in my own home.
I nodded, thanked her, and she was gone. I sat in the booth, going over what to do in my head. Janice was honest, and she believed in every word she said. However, I may be dealing with someone who may have mental illness. The story that she told me, this creature she claims to see, doesn't have any concrete origin, and I've never heard of it in my entire career. I was troubled. On one hand, I was giving this woman closure, putting her at ease with something she claims to have seen, but on the other, was I exploiting this woman? I sat there mulling it over in my head until I got up and made my decision. I drove to Janice's house, which was deep in the woods, and the road was nothing more than gravel and dirt. The house itself was a nice, albeit plain, two-story house that had seen better days. The paint was chipped, the windows were opaque, and the lawn was wild, but not in the level of some of the abandoned houses I'd come across. Janice sprang from the house and rushed to give me a hug. It was stronger than I anticipated.
So glad you made it. Are you planning on staying?
If you'll have me.
Of course. I've got a spare bedroom upstairs. It should be plenty big for you.
Good. I got some equipment I gotta bring in, and I want to make sure you're absolutely certain about me recording and shooting and collecting anything I see here. I only ask this just to be absolutely sure.
You have my full permission. Now get inside. It's cold out there.
The inside of the house was beautiful, and it seems that every room had this feeling that a life was lived well there. Portraits of families on the wall that spanned decades, old furniture that was worn down from years of use, and paperback books with withered spines. The house smelled damp and dusty, but it was at least very warm compared to the chilliness of the November weather. My room was upstairs, like she said, but she never let me know that it used to be a child's bedroom. It was faded pink, the bed was big enough, but noticeably smaller than I wanted, and there were little drawings pinned on the walls. The drawings were attributed to a girl named Sarah, whose name was in the corner of each piece of paper. One of them stood out to me. One of the drawings, as crude as it was unmistakably a deer skeleton. It sent a chill down my spine and made me feel uneasy, because it made Janice's story feel a little more real. I grabbed my things and hauled them upstairs. Janice stopped me once and asked,
"You sure you don't need any help?"
Oh, I'm fine. But, whose room do I have?
Oh, that's my little Sarah's room. I lost her quite some time ago. She had cancer. Drove out nearly 3 hours for each doctor's visit. And it just...
Listen, I'm sorry. I forget I even mentioned it. It was rude of me to ask.
No. It's fine. It's been a long time. nearly 20 years now, but it still feels like yesterday. Sarah was a sweet girl, and I just know she would have been more than willing to share her room.
The rest of that day, I consulted with Janice to get her idea of where I need to set up my cameras and audio equipment. From what she told me, the flayed deer sort of appeared to her wherever, that there wasn't a single location that I could hone in on. So I set a perimeter around the house, creating a perfect circle with the cameras, and installed top-of-the-line audio equipment, also positioned in a similar circle, pointing out into the forest. I explained to Janice that the process could take nearly a week before I could come to a conclusion about the existence of a cryptid, especially something that has not been documented or recorded in history, like the flayed deer. The first night yielded no results, much to my disappointment. I very rarely got any results on the first night of investigations. The following morning, I looked around the woods surrounding the house, looking for possible hoof prints or any other signs of disturbance, but came up short. The second night, I caught footage of a possum with a litter of babies on its back crossing the driveway. It was cute, but not what I was looking for. However, I did hear the rustling of leaves out in the distance, caught on some of the audio, followed by a loud, clacking noise. When I investigated in the morning, I saw that one of the trees around the house had the bark stripped from the trunk. The deer was here, scraping its antlers across the wood. It was something, but it was easily explained. Night three was much more interesting, because on the night vision camera, I saw something. It was dark, very dark, but deep within the woods. I saw two reflecting eyes looking at the camera. I could hear the leaves rustling beneath it as whatever it was walked. And then I caught something on the audio recorders. It was faint, barely even a whisper. But as I boosted the volume all the way up to 100, it was a withered old voice saying in a dull, flat tone,
"Can you see me? I can see you."
Then it ran off, leaving crunching beneath its feet. And I just sat there, frozen in my room, because the voice that I heard belongs to my grandmother, who has been dead for nearly 30 years. That morning, I walked to the site of where that thing might have been standing. Looking at one of my cameras, Janice shouted from the porch.
"What are you doing?"
I shouted back.
"Just checking something."
When I approached the scene, I saw something sunken into the leaves and mud. It was deer prints, all of them pointed directly at the house. I kept this information to myself, and I went back to Pappy's for breakfast. I just had eggs, bacon, and toast this time. When she asked me if I'd seen anything yet, I was honest. "I saw some things that could be easily explained, but I have this audio I can't explain. A voice, it sounds familiar to me." Her face grew weary and distraught.
"Oh, God,"
she said.
"It's latched onto you."
I smiled, trying to play it off.
"Oh, I've been told I've been cursed plenty of times, Janice. I'll manage, but I appreciate the concern."
"It'll follow you when you leave."
"It'll have a lot of ground to cover. Trust me."
She just looked at me with heavy, tired eyes and quietly began eating her breakfast. We didn't talk the rest of the night. Night four was another dud. Nothing at all. I took a walk around the house in the morning, checking my things, making sure that everything was functioning in these last 3 days of recording. Janice called my name from behind.
"Peter."
"Yes?"
I heard nothing and yelled louder.
"Yes?"
Nothing.
"What do you want, Janice?"
"I'm sorry,"
a voice said in front of me. That's when I saw Janice was walking out of the house, looking at me, utterly confused.
"Were you saying my name?"
I turned around and saw a brief glimpse of two great antlers poking out from behind a large tree. As soon as I saw it, it skulked away extremely fast, the sound of crunching leaves trailing behind it. I felt my stomach turn over. My blood felt icy.
and I didn't realize that I was trembling.
Good Lord. Are you okay, Peter?
I heard your voice calling to me. Where were you just now?
I was in the house. Why?
I didn't want to panic her. So, despite my pale expression, I lied to her face, said that I was fine. I had a sinking feeling that she didn't believe me, but she went with it anyway. The last night I was there, I stared at the monitors from the laptop in Sarah's room. I watched the wilderness around the house and listened to the ambience of wind rustling through the branches. I fell asleep halfway through. I attributed it to stress, but I was awoken by the sound of a voice calling from outside. Said a voice so sweet it'd melt your heart. I brushed the crust from my eyes and looked at the camera feed to see something on the edge of the forest. The moonlight shone the outline of a deer with two large antlers. Smoke bellowed from its nostrils as it snorted in the cold air. I heard the voice coo again.
Mama, it's cold outside.
I ran to the door to try to tell Janice, but found it locked. I jiggled the knob, shook the door, and even tried to shoulder it. But Janice's voice spoke to me in an eerie calm.
It's okay, Peter. I knew this would happen. I held it off for as long as I could.
Janice, open the door!
I brought you here so you could see what happens. Our town has had to fear this thing. And no one helped us because they didn't believe us. But you can make them believe.
Janice, you're not going out there. Just stay inside and open this fucking door.
Just watch, Peter. People need to understand what this thing does. What it did to all of us.
I heard her descending the stairs, and I tried kicking the door as best I could, but to no avail. I looked on with horror at the camera feed as the great stag emerged from the tree line, its body illuminated by the moonlight. It was a great skeletal deer, and upon its head, neck, and back were pieces of flayed human skin. It lay on the deer like some sort of holy cloak of flesh and hair. The skins were of different colors, ages, and tones, as well as states of decay. It trotted slowly to the front of the house, in direct view of the cameras. I heard the front door open and close. Sure enough, Janice entered the frame, unafraid and staring eye to eye with the giant stag. The antlers towered over her like the branches of an ancient tree, casting shadows over her. She spoke to it one last time.
Go on then. Do it.
How do I describe what happened next? I have the footage, but I've erased the memory cards containing it. No one should see this. To my recollection, it happened like this. The stag brayed into the night, a long, high-pitched bugle. It was a deafening sound. In a trance-like state, Janice fell to her knees and stripped herself of her clothes. Then, as if by magic, her skin loosened and grew saggy. With one of its antlers, it hooked a bit of her flesh and yanked off her skin with one clean motion. Blood splattered onto the ground, and Janice was left a wet mass of structured muscle and bone. It flicked the skin backwards and lay onto the collection of human pelts it had gathered for so many years. As if she regained her senses, Janice began to scream. It was the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. She screamed until her voice was hoarse, but the flayed deer just kept staring at her with the two empty sockets where eyes should have been. As she writhed in pain, she looked at the camera again and spoke with Janice's voice.
Are you watching, Peter?
It let out another high-pitched bugle, and Janice's suffering ceased. Her body, well, there's no easy way to say it. Her body seemingly exploded. Her flesh and bones shot in every direction, and the blood splattered the cameras, obscuring the image. Shortly after the decimation of her body, I heard the wet slaps of meat beating against the house, as well as the ground outside.
I stared at the laptop in shock, and through the smear of blood, I saw a flayed deer trot back into the dark woods. I didn't sleep. I eventually kept trying for the door until I broke it off its hinges. I took my things and haphazardly threw them into my car. I walked by the pulpy red stain that used to be Jana's, and that's when I lost it. I drove away in tears. I was effectively having a panic attack as I drove out of Mossy Pines. I kept driving for hours until I saw that the gas was dangerously low. I fueled up at a gas station, grabbed some shitty gas station food, and kept driving on until I was home. When I got back, I think I slept for a full 12 hours. I awoke, reviewed the footage, and instead of submitting the footage to my colleagues and friends, I removed the chips from the cameras and burned them. I figured the best way I could document this was to write about it. I wondered if this was how my grandfather felt all those years ago when he allegedly encountered something he couldn't explain. All I know is that I've gone from a healthy skeptic to a weary believer. I wish that the story ended in Mossy Pines, but I've been hearing voices at night recently, family and friends from my past, and sometimes I'll hear Janice, too. They're cold. They want something to warm them up. And they always politely ask for my skin. The flayed deer is waiting for me.
Thank you for listening. And delving with me into the dark together.
Please remember to leave a thumbs up and subscribe if you feel so inclined. The more engagement this video gets, the more YouTube will push my content to others.
Thus, the following will grow.
All stories read in this channel will be available on Spotify, iTunes, and just about everywhere else. Links in the description.
Thank you for listening and feeding the cause. We'll be seeing you.